Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Golder, and today we're Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chav Gimel, the second parak of Yashen Tachas Amita. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis stated, "Osu Sukkas Brosha Agal Brosha Sfina Kasher." If one makes a sukkah on the top of a wagon or on the top of a ship, it's kosher. The Gemara asks who the town of the Mishnah is, and answers that it's Rabbi Kiva, based on a brisa that states from Gamliel holds that a sukkah on a ship is possible, and Rabbi Kiva says it's kosher. The Brice relates when Rabbi Kiva built a sukkah on a ship and the next day it blew over. Rabbi Gamliel asked him rhetorically, "Akiva, where's your sukkah now?" Abai said that both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva agree. Heket de eni yachol lamod beruch mitsuya de yabasha lo kumhi. Where the sukkah is so flimsy that it cannot withstand a usual land wind, it's nothing and certainly puzzle. If it's dirty enough to withstand a usual land wind, they both agree that it's kosher. They only disagree where it's possible to withstand a usual land wind, but cannot withstand an unusual land wind, which Rashi says is the equivalent of a usual sea wind. Rabbi Gamliel holds, sukkah diras keva be'inan. A sukkah needs to be a fixed dwelling and must be able to withstand a normal sea wind. Rabbi Kiva holds, sukkah diras arai be'inan. And since it can withstand a normal land wind, it's kosher. Pointing to the Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis also stated, al gabi gamo kishera ve'inu onu la b'yantav. A sukkah on the back of a camel is kosher, but one may not go up into it on yantav. Gemara Adav says that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, for it was taught in the Braisa, Ausu sukkas al gabi behema, Rabbi Meir makshir, Rabbi Yehuda posel. If one makes a sukkah on the back of an animal, Rabbi Meir is makshir the sukkah and Rabbi Yehuda is posel it. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda's reason for invalidating the sukkah is based on the pasuk that states, Chagas sukkos tasel achas shivas yamim. The festival of sukkos you shall make for yourself for 7 days. Sukkah rui l'shiva shma sukkah. From here we derive that a sukkah that's fit for use for all 7 days is deemed a kosher sukkah. But if it cannot be used for all 7 days, it's not deemed a sukkah. Since a sukkah atop an animal may not be used on the first day of sukkahs, which is yantiv, because of the derabana against mounting an animal on yantiv, it's disqualified for the mitzvah altogether. Rav Meir holds, Hanami midaraisa mech zechazia, but Rabbanan hu degaz ruba. This sukkah is fit midaraisa for all 7 days, and it's only the Rabbanan that decreed against it. And point number three, the Gemara brings up raisa in which Rav Meir rules that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall, and Rav Yehuda permits it. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's reason is, and Abai said, Shematamus. Rabbi Meir is concerned that it might die and collapse to the ground in Yantav, thereby leaving the sukkah without one of its requisite walls. Rabbi Zera said, Shemativrach. Rabbi Meir is concerned that it might run away. The Gemara goes through an extensive analysis and asks, according to Abai, what concern is there that the animal might die if it's held up by cords from above, preventing it from collapsing? The Gemara answers that there are times that one stands the animal so that its top reaches to less than 3 tefachim from the schach in a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high, and once it dies, it shrinks slightly so that the top is 3 tefachim or more from the schach and will not be on his mind to repair the defective wall since it's not noticeably defective. So once again, the three topics are number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis stated, Osu sukkas brosha galo or brosha sfina kasher. If one makes his sukkah on the top of a wagon or on the top of a ship, it's kosher. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is and answers that it's Rabbi Kiva based on a brisa that states that Rabbi Gamliel holds that a sukkah on a ship is pasul, and Rabbi Kiva says it's kosher. The brisa relates that Rabbi Kiva built a sukkah on a ship and the next day it blew over, and Rabbi Gamliel asked him rhetorically, Akiva, where's your sukkah now? Abai said that both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva agree. Heka de eina yachol lamod beruch mitsuya de yabasha lo kumi. Where the sukkah is so flimsy that it cannot withstand a usual land wind, it's nothing and certainly puzzle. If it's sturdy enough to withstand a usual land wind, they both agree that it's kosher. They only disagree where it's possible to withstand a usual land wind, but cannot withstand an unusual land wind, which Rashi says is the equivalent of a usual sea wind. Rabbi Gamliel holds sukkah diras keva be'inan. A sukkah needs to be a fixed dwelling and must be able to withstand a normal sea wind. Rabbi Kiva holds sukkah diras arai be'inan, and since it can withstand a normal land wind, it's kosher. Point number two, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis also stated, al gabi gamo kasher ve'in onlo b'yantav. A sukkah on the back of a camel is kosher, but one may not go up into it on yantav. The Gemara on Ardaf says that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, for it was taught in a brisa, Osu sukkas al gabi behema, Rabbi Meir makshir, Rabbi Yehuda posel. If one makes a sukkah on the back of an animal, Rabbi Meir is makshir the sukkah and Rabbi Yehuda's posel. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda's reason for invalidating the sukkah is based on the pasuk that states, Chagas sukkas tasel achas shivas yamim. The festival of sukkahs you shall make for yourself for 7 days. Sukkah, rui l'shiva, shma sukkah. From here we derive that a sukkah that is fit for all 7 days is deemed a kosher sukkah. But if it cannot be used for all 7 days, it is not deemed a sukkah. Now, since a sukkah atop an animal may not be used on the first day of sukkahs, which is Yantav, because of the Derabbanan against mounting an animal on Yantav, it's disqualified for the mitzvah altogether. Rav Meir holds, An nami midarais mechzachazi, but Rabbanan who digas rubah. This sukkah is fit midarais for all 7 days, and it's only the Rabbanan that decreed against it. And point number three, the Gemara brings up Brice, in which Rabbi Meir rules that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall, and Rabbi Yehuda permits it. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's reason is, and Abai said, Shematamus. Rabbi Meir is concerned that it might die and collapse to the ground in Yantav, thereby leaving the sukkah without one of its requisite walls. Rabbi Zera said, Shemativrach. Rabbi Meir is concerned that it might run away. Now the Gemara goes through an extensive analysis and asks, according to Abaya, what concern is there that the animal might die if it's held up by cords from above, preventing it from collapsing? The Gemara answers that there are times that one stands the animal so that its top reaches to less than 3 tefachim from the schach, in a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high. And once it dies, it shrinks slightly so that its top is 3 tefachim or more from the schach, and will not be on his mind to repair the defective wall, since it's not noticeably defective. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Chav Gimel, and we're actually making a change on the simon. We are retiring the simon of Keg for Chav Gimel, and the new simon is going to be Kugelach. I want to thank Cashy Weiss from Lakewood, New Jersey, for this new simon. Kugelach is going to be our simon. I'll explain it in an announcement that I'm going to be making here in Zichru, the reason why. But now the simon is Kugelach. It's the little middle dice that the kids throw up and they try to catch. And that is a new simon for Chav Gimel. I don't believe it's going to be a great point of confusion. You'll get used to it. So no worries for those who use Keg in the previous Masechtas. Well, they will remain Keg from Brachas all the way through Yuma. And now going weiter from Masechtas Sukkah on, the simon for Chav Gimel is going to be Kugelach. So here goes. When the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transported in sukkahs on top of camels to a sukkah that had a dead animal held up by cords as one of its walls. Once again, in slow motion. When the Kugelach championship, that must be one daf Chav Gimel. When the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, which reminds the Gemara says the Tana of the Mishnah that a sukkah on top of an agala or sfinas kosher is Rabbi Akiva who argues with Rabban Gamliel. A brisa relates Rabbi Akiva built a sukkah on a ship and the next day it blew over and Rabban Gamliel asked him rhetorically, Akiva, where's your sukkah now? Abai said that Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva disagree where it's possible for the sukkah to withstand a usual land wind, but cannot withstand an unusual land wind, which Rashi says is the equivalent of a usual sea wind. Rabban Gamliel holds sukkah's dearest keva ba'inan. A sukkah needs to be a fixed dwelling and must be able to withstand a normal sea wind. Rabbi Akiva holds that sukkah's dearest arai ba'inan, and since it can withstand a normal land wind, it's kosher. So in the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels, which reminds the Gemara in Arik Daf says that the Tana of the Mishnah that states that a sukkah on top of a camel is kosher is Rabbi Meir, who argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we derive from Chag HaSukkos Tatzel Choshivas Yamim, the festival of sukkahs you shall make for yourself for 7 days, sukkah Rui Goshiva Shma Sukkah, that a sukkah that is fit for use for all 7 days is deemed a kosher sukkah. But if it cannot be used for all 7 days, it is not deemed a sukkah, since a sukkah on top of an animal may not be used on the first day of sukkahs, which is Yantav, because of the Rabban against mounting an animal on Yantav, it's disqualified from the mitzvah altogether. Rabbi Meir holds the sukkah is fit with the rice for all 7 days, and it's only the Rabbanan that decreed against it. So in the Kugelach championship taking place on the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels to a sukkah that had a dead animal held up by cords as one of its walls. Which reminds the Gemara brings a brice in which Rabbi Meir rules that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's reason is, and Abai said Shema Tamuz, and Rabbi Zera said Shema Tivrach, maybe it'll run away. The Gemara asks according to Abai, what concern is there that the animal might die if it's held up by cords from above, preventing it from collapsing? The Gemara answers that there are times that one stands an animal so that its top reaches to less than 3 tefachim from the schach in a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high, and once it dies, it shrinks slightly so the top is 3 tefachim or more from the schach, and it will not be on his mind to repair the defective wall, since it's not noticeably defective. So once again, when the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels to a sukkah that had a dead animal held up by cords as one of its walls. All right, now it's time for 4 blah back Hazara. Daf Yotes, so the symbol for Daf Yotes is a yacht. So here goes. The adults on the Chomo Yatrip, that must be more on Daf Yotes. The adults on the Chomod Yatrib enjoyed sitting on deck, in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, which reminds us a ton of top psal yotzmina sukkah, nidun kasukkah psal, referring to schach that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. Ula said this refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah, and one might have thought that since his walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah, and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue the extension does not have valid walls. The Bryce is coming to teach that it is valid. Rabbi Yosef said they were doing sticks of schach that protrude in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with it. You might have said that it doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Bryce is teaching us that it's valid since protruding section is not regarded as separate from the sukkah. Two more interpretations are given. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed Yatrib enjoyed sitting on deck, in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ha'osa sukkaso k'min srif, if one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, or shesmach l'koso, or he leaned it against a wall, Rabbi Eliezer rules in either case that it's possible because it has no roof. The Chami rule that it's kosher because they hold, shipua olim ko'olim damu, sloping roofs are considered roofs. It was taught in a brace, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he raised a sukkah that leaned against the wall, a tefach off the ground, or distanced it a tefach from the wall and supported with pegs, then it is kosher. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed Yatrib enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. Which reminds the next mission introduced to Machus being the Chami and Rabbi Eliezer regarding when large and small mats, machasalos, can be used as chach. Daf Chaf, so the Simmer Daf Chaf is a cafe, so here goes. The Leatherback Cafe, that must be more in Daf Chaf. The Leatherback Cafe, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a mission in the 80s that taught, Kol HaChotzolos Metamin Tumei Meis Divi Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says that all Chotzolos are Mekabel Tumas Meis, and the Chamim are understood to say they are also Mekabel Tumas Midras. Chotzolos are defined as leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lie down to rest. Rabbi Dosa holds that since this is not their primary use, and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they are not Mekabel Tumas Midras. Reish Lakish says they are Machotzolos Mamish, real mats. So, the Leatherback Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to regal and forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, which reminds us of how Reish Lakish recalled Rabbi Chiya and his son's pshat in the Machos between Rabbi Dosa and the Chami by first mentioning three times the Torah was forgotten and was retaught by those that came from Bavel. The first time by Ezra Sofer, then Hillel HaZaken, and then Rabbi Chiya and his sons. And Rabbi Chiya and his sons said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chami are arguing over mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they are not Mekabel Tumas Midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are Mekabel Tumas Midras. So the Leatherback Cafe, where guests occasionally sit on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant on sukkos for really tired guests to sleep under. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the second barak states, Hayashin tachas amita basukkah yatsi dechovaso, one who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oel and is a barrier between him and the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said, it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed is considered an oel arai, a temporary dwelling, v'lasi oel arai umavato oel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. Dav Chafalov, so the Simmer Dav Chafalov is a car, pronounced ka, by people from Boston. So here goes. The kids in the ka, that must be one Dav Chafalov. The kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels, burrowed by weasels, which reminds Rabbi Yehuda learns that kol ohel she'eno asubi de adam, eina ohel, any ohel that's not made by man, is not an ohel with regard to tumah from a gezer shava, based on the word ohel, just as the ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an ohel made by man, so too here in the case of Tumah, the term ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan who dispute Rabbi Yehuda and rule that even a naturally formed ohel, such as one burrowed by a weasel, transmit Tumah, they learn it from the repetitive expressions of ohel, ohel, written in the context of Tumah, that it comes to include the law of Tumah, even by a naturally formed ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels, burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, which reminds us, the Gemara questions whether Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that ko ohel she'eno asui bidei adam eino ohel, citing a mission from Parah about the children raised in purity, so they eventually could draw water for the ikon involved in the Parah Duma. The Tanakhama holds they rode on top of doors that were on top of oxen as they went down to the stream so they could not become tamim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, they would not bring down doors, but rather wide-bellied belly to oxen. It was these oxen that shielded the children from any tumas. We see from here that Rav Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Elazar, Mod Rav Yehuda kamaya egrov. Rav Yehuda agrees in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is large as a fist, that it is deemed an ohel. So the kids in the Ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual. Which reminds the Gemara as, Menayin Shafil Sichas Talmid Chachamim Sricha Limud, from where do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmid Chachamim requires study? For it is stated, Va'alehu lo yibo, and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmid Chachamim's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. Dav Chabbeis, so the Simmer Dav Chabbeis is a cab. So here goes. When the cab, that must be more Dav Chabbeis. When the cab crashed into the Sukkah Mudvlelis with a staggered schach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Sukkah Mudvlelis v'shesilas merubim v'chamasa kasher sukkah. That is Mudvlelis, and whose shade exceeds its light. Its kosher Rav said that it's a sukkah ania. It means a meager sukkah, one that's covered with a thin layer of schach, with many gaps between the various reeds, but no gap is three tefachim wide. Shmuel said the Mishnah refers to a sukkah whose schach is arranged so that one reed is up and one reed is down, and because of this arrangement, the sukkah is more sunlit than shaded. The Mishnah is coming to teach that the sukkah is nonetheless kosher, since the sukkah would be more shaded than sunlit if all the schach were on the same level. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah of Mudvlelis with the staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, which reminds us. Regarding Shmuel's understanding that the sukkah of Mudvlelis is a sukkah with staggered schach, Abai said that the sukkah is only kosher when there isn't a gap with three tefachim between the upper and lower schach. But if there's a gap with three tefachim, the sukkah is puzzle, for the two levels of schach cannot be viewed as joined together. Rava said that three tefachim open space is kosher if the reeds of the upper level are tefach wide, damrin and chaburami. For then we say, lower and cast the upper reed upon the space below. Rava asserts that the chabur only applies if the covering is at least a tefach wide, in which case the covering is wide enough to constitute an ohel in its own right. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah mudvlelis with a staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, making the sukkah dark like a house. Which reminds us that the Mishnah stated, Mu'uba k'min bayis, afo b'she'en a kochavim niri mitocha, kasher a sukkah that is thickly covered like a house, even though the stars cannot be seen from inside it, is kosher. But it was taught in a braisa, if the schach is so thick that even the rays of the sun cannot be seen from inside the sukkah, Beishamai puzzles the sukkah and Beishil is makshir. Rashi explains that according to Beishamai, a sukkah with such thick schach is not like a sukkah at all. It's rather like a house, which is certainly puzzle for the mitzvah. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.